It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning, folks. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton, and I hope everybody's doing well. If you're listening on the air right now, you've still got time this morning to crawl up in a deer stand somewhere. And we're going to talk some deer hunting in today's show and some Tewakinee fishing. Actually, our guest is guy David Hansen. David's standing by. He's been doing some trophy blue fishing and some deer hunting. David, thanks for being with us today, buddy.
Well, it's always great to have time to visit with you and talk about what we like to do, man.
I know it is. And you're talking to a lot of your friends and clients and everything else up here in Northeast Texas. I bet you at least half the people listening, that regular listeners, have either fished with you or they dang sure know who you are, David. You've been guiding the catfish trips out there for a long time, and then on Lake Tewakinee, you've been fishing that lake all your life, haven't you?
Yes, sir. You know, it's the only lake I really know. I fished a few others in my life, but I don't have to go anywhere else. I got the best one around right here.
You got that right. As far as... If a man's going to be a catfish guide, good gosh, I mean, there's more catfish there than not only the big trophy blues, but what we call eater blues, you know, 2 to 3, 4, 5, 10 pounds, those size. A person's wanting a fish fry, well, that's, I can't think of a better place, but the big ones, this is primo for the big blues right now. Best time of the year getting to be, isn't it?
Yes, sir. It's now. I mean, from now until, you know, middle of April, we will steadily, you know, catch the larger fish. And in the process, different times, the good eating fish will be more active than the big fish. And it just all works out real good and always a good time, you know.
Yeah, always. You know, we've talked about this many times, the reason why winter is the trophy blue catfish time. I guess the bait is one thing. It I don't know if the cooler water just turns those big ones on. I guess it does. But the bait can ball up and get in tight schools, too. I don't know if that triggers the big ones to feed more. David, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, it's all... You're exactly right. The water temperature drops. All those shad that's been in the shallows all fall, you know, until it starts cooling down, start moving back out to deeper water. The cooler temperatures, it all goes back to hunting. If you picture quail hunting, grew up quail hunting, you can imagine what goes on with the big blue cat or blue cat period in the wintertime. When you're hunting quail, they're in a covey. You jump the covey, you get multiple shots. That makes it, when you catch them grouped up, you have better chances of catching the fish, and they're grouped up because of the shad are there and they're eating.
That's it in a nutshell. I mean, I know that's it. The big one, by big blues, I'm talking about, to me, any blue over 20 pounds, 20 to, I know you've caught them in your boat up to 80 pounds, but... You know, the big blues, just like big deer, like big bucks, you know, there's probably way, way, way more 2-pounders than there are 50-pounders out there. But they're going to be concentrated in there with the other fish where the bait is. And
absolutely.
And that's why in the wintertime, shad can be tough to catch because they're doing, like you mentioned, they're going deep.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you've got some weights on a cast net where you can catch them if anybody can catch them. I'm talking about the shad now, but it's a challenge when the weather gets really cold and that water gets down in the upper 40s. I mean, it can be a real challenge to get a net on them, can it?
Oh, it's pure D work. There ain't no other way to put it. That's the hardest part of this job. When you're looking for that bait, you can find them balled up, you can throw in there, and it may be a whole school of little channel cat down there in that hole. And if it is, there's 30, 45 minutes you're spending pulling out channel cat, and then the next time you throw it, you could have 50 shad in there with a pound and a half piece. It's crazy.
Exactly. It's And there again, the challenges. I've never been a fishing guide. I've done some, you know, hunting guiding in my life a good bit for different stuff. But I've never been a fishing guide, but I've got a lot of buddies through the years I have had and friends like you. Yeah, catching them, you got to know how to look for them, where to look for them. Nowadays, how to read avionics and sonar, you have to do that. But, you know, the work part, the guys that get in the boat with you and the gals coming out to fish, they don't see that the hard part of it that you've been doing before they got there to get the bait, do they, you know?
That's right. And when you go to do this, you know, you can – if you're lucky, if you're a hero, you might get them in the first cast, or I have thrown up to 100 times to get enough to fish one trip.
Exactly. It's a challenge. Right now, though, fresh, as always, fresh shad for these big blue catfish is the kicker. I know that, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Fresh, bloody, and oily.
Yeah. You know, the fresher, the bloodier, the oilier, the better, mm-hmm. the more sit in the water. And nobody can actually, I would love to be a scuba diver and somehow be hooked up where I could follow those big catfish, because here's what I can picture. You've got multiple baits out on a Santee Cooper rig, you know, floater. That's, folks, you know, that's the float above the hook, keeps those baits up off the bottom with a weight down there with a leader on there, you know. But dragging, 7 or 8 baits, whatever, 6 or 8 baits, and then that's leaving a scent trail. Well, the more oil, blood, the fresher the bait, the better that scent trail. I would like to be able to just watch those catfish. On sonar, you can sometimes. I know you can see them, but there's no telling how far away they can pick up that scent, Dave. I bet a great distance, you know.
Well, it's I've always been told that they have the same sense of smell as a great white shark. And if that's so, they say them sharks can smell for miles away. I would hate to think they were that vicious, though, you know.
I'm not sure I'd ever want to go get in the water again. but I don't doubt that when those fresh baits come drifting by, say a submerged hump out there in the lower lake, 20 foot deep, They're hanging in there because there's some shad, but then there's something that's easy to catch coming by, and they just know that. I know they do, and that's what triggers these bites, isn't it, you know?
Yes, sir. And you know, you was talking about the sonar. There has been many times in the winter you're out there looking for a spot to fish, and there's so much bait that you can't read through the bottom. Well, ain't no sense fishing there. Because them fish that's there are going to be full on that bait that's with them. You go out and you don't mark anything, that's where you catch your fish.
That's interesting. And it puts me back in the hunting mode, because I'm all about, if I'm not hunting or fishing, I'm thinking about it. And that's the truth. But, you know, that goes to something that deer hunting. I'm a big believer in trail cameras. I've got a couple of these. Wildlife Innovations, you know, they're reasonably priced trail cameras, but they work really good. And I monitor these things on about every 3 days. I'm checking them. I have looked, as a matter of fact, just yesterday, I looked at a trail camera. But first, I used the old school things I've been doing since I was a boy. I read the sign on the ground. My gosh, there's a lot of hogs. I didn't see many on this particular camera. I didn't see many deer tracks, just a couple, but I saw a ton of hog sign, rootings and everything else right there and fresh. Well, I said, man, this camera's going to be covered up with hogs. Well, I pulled the SD card and took that camera in, looked at it. There was a few hogs, but nowhere near what I'd seen on the ground. So I don't know, you know, the only way to really know for sure is to be looking. In case of the catfish, you can't be down there under the water. I don't know why it happens like that in the outdoors, but it does, doesn't it?
That's right. That's, you know, I love to hunt just like you do, but the hunt for that big catfish is more challenging because you don't know, like you say, you can't see your bait, you can't see that animal coming, and when that rod bends over and that line goes stripping, Oh, there he is.
It's a surprise, isn't it?
You know? Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's just like turning when you're in the stand and looking, and that biggest deer you ever seen standing there at 20 yards looking at you.
Exactly. And that's the way it works. Well, talking deer, of course, the rut is you're up in northeast Texas hunting up around, I guess, you know, Hunt County up in that neck of the woods. I can tell you I'm hunting not far from there, and I haven't, you know, the rut is right now is prime time to be in the woods. The bucks are on the move. I've seen last two times I've hunted, I've seen bucks, not one I was going to shoot, but, you know, bucks on the move. What are you seeing out there in Hunt County, David?
Well, I've hunted every day but one in the last 7 days, and every day I'm seeing multiple does, and the bucks are coming in by on solo. Looking, they'll come near the does. Does will run off. It hasn't completely, you know. Maybe out of the week, I've seen one buck kind of chase around with a doe and two different bucks spar, but nothing serious. They're just in the hunting mode, just like we are.
So it's, I mean, my advice this weekend for any deer hunter or somebody listening to our show this coming few days, it's archived here at KETR, my advice would be to spend as much time out there right now as you can, because really when the hard rut, what I call it, when they really start chasing, which is probably, if you know, it's going on some places right now, but some places they're just looking. But when that starts, you're just as apt to see a mature buck at 10:30 in the morning or 2 as you are at daylight or that last 30 minutes of dark, David. So my advice would just be, you know, spend a bunch of time, as much time as you can on stand, and don't be afraid to rattle. Do some rattling, too. I use rattling horns quite a bit. Not always. If I'm in a tight place, which I do hunt some pretty tight cover, and I usually don't rattle there until after, say I'm out there before daylight in the morning. I'll wait until probably 8:30 or 9 if I haven't seen anything, and then I'll do a little rattling. But I have had some good success bringing bucks in. And what'll happen if you're in the woods doing it? Now, out in the field, it's different. You'll see them coming a lot of times. But in the woods, you'll just be sitting there, and all of a sudden there'll be a buck standing over there looking at you, you know. But very exciting, and it's something that you should, you know, don't be afraid to try it, because it can definitely help you out, especially this time of year. Maybe like right now, when these bucks, they've separated, they're left their bachelor herd weeks ago, but they're, I was talking to a buddy down in San Saba, and he had shot a deer. This was a wild story that went down, and he was trying to get to it, and this happened last week. A buck came up, not a trophy buck, but an older buck come up, all bristled up with his hair standing up, saw that buck that was down, jumped all over him. And as it happened, that buck got up, the one that he thought was down, and ran off. So the adrenaline got going. David, I wish we had about 4 more hours to keep talking, but we're out of time. Hook everybody up with, you know, David Hansen here, where they can come out there and go catch them a big blue catfish or a bunch of eaters. How do they call you?
They can reach me anytime on my cell phone at 903-268-7391.
Okay, David, or, you know, I mean, that's really the easiest way. If you want to contact any of my friends or anybody, you know, just catfishradio.com, and I'll be happy to hook you up. David, we'll get you back soon, buddy.
All right, man.
Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. Remember, you can listen to the archive of our shows at ketr.org. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smokin' Tex Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, Darton Archery, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, Pyramid Air, Sightmark, maker of the Photon XT, and Catfish Bubblegum.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.